Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of mind power. I have been so interested in information that has been coming to me, especially during the last couple of years, regarding various levels of mental illness and or disorders that affect people psychologically in a very different way. And I had not heard of the term BPD. I hadn't heard of that. Have you? If you haven't, I think you're going to find our guest, Jeffrey Abigail, just a fascinating person because he's going to be talking about this unique condition that involved his own personal journey, about how it afflicted him and what he's been able to find out. And he's bringing it to the airwaves so that perhaps someone that you know maybe will be able to get the help that they need. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you have written this book, Stranger to Myself, Inside Depersonalization, The Hidden Epidemic. I was really surprised when I got this. Because we hear a lot about bipolar, we hear about schizophrenia, we hear about so many different aspects of things that afflict a mental, and of course it affects the physical condition of people. But I'd never heard of a depersonalization disorder, DPD. You're a medical journalist, you've been afflicted by this, and this is directly related to neurology. Will you share with my listeners how it is that you discovered that you had this condition, and what was the process that you went through?
Well, depersonalization disorder has been around for a long time, and it's been listed in every major diagnostic manual, listed in different areas as a subcategory, sometimes of anxiety disorders or dissociative disorders. The problem is that it was relatively obscure until the last 30 years or so, when there has been an explosion of cases with people describing these strange symptoms that don't sound like depression, they don't sound like anxiety, they don't sound like bipolar disorders or anything else. And very often, a doctor will consider DPD simply a symptom of some other condition the person may have or not have. So it's kind of been hidden in the background, even though it can be a distinct disorder unto itself. There are certain things that characterize it, and actually a excellent description of it came out in the 1940s in the Comprehensive Textbook of Psychiatry, and it said the central characteristic of DPD is a quality of unreality and estrangement that is attached in connection to conscious experience. Inner mental events and external events go on seemingly exactly as before, yet everything is different and seems no longer to have any personal relation or meaning to the person who is aware of them. So in other words, the overall feeling of strangeness about the external world and about the internal world is what primarily marks depersonalization disorder. And the term depersonalization, which goes back over 100 years, is very appropriate because you feel like you're losing your personhood, your sense of personal attachment to the things around you and the things that keep you grounded in the life that you know, that you suddenly are kind of a lost soul out in the meaningless universe, and it's a very existential condition, which is something I go into in the book. To get back to some of the symptoms in general, people are wondering what the actual symptoms are. A primary one is something called anomalous body experience. which is a very real sense of the separation of the mind and the body. In other words, you no longer feel like you're integrated, like you're a person. You may also feel like you're in a dream. You can have difficulty deciphering the difference between dreams and the actual day-to-day life. There's a feeling of mind emptiness, as if your mind is completely blank. There is an element of self-observation, as if you're watching yourself, as if you're in a movie, and you no longer seem like you're just an observing self. And all of this is marked by an overall sense of strangeness and unfamiliarity. In other words, if you got off a plane tomorrow and you were in a completely foreign country and everything seemed strange and different, the normal world with which you're familiar will seem that way with depersonalization.
All right. You yourself, in the year 2000, created the website depersonalization.com, mm-hmm. and it was inspired by a psychiatrist that you said had diagnosed you about 20 years earlier.
Correct.
You bring up information about one person who's extremely knowledgeable. Her name is Daphne Simon. As a physician, she's a primary investigator at Mount Sinai Medical Center that has a section devoted exclusively to depersonalization and dissociation research program. Now, this is really quite interesting. I think that so often we are unaware of the various factors of human experience unless we go through it ourselves, and obviously you have for a long period of time. You bring out how things are affected by brain chemistry changes, and you go into how many times people who have indulged in drugs will have these disassociating experiences, and they never stop having them. They're just in that modality because it affects the nervous system, and also the way the nervous system interacts with the brain. And again, we're dealing with chemistry. I found this most interesting.
Well, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead. I just want to talk about the research behind it.
There are two clinics, or there were two clinics studying depersonalization specifically, and one was at Mount Sinai in New York, and the other was in King's College in England at Oxford University. Cambridge. And as I said, depersonalization has really come out of the woodwork in the last 15 years or so. And part of the reason for that is there have been more and more people coming out of the woodwork who explain to their doctor these bizarre sensations and this sense of unfamiliarity. And what has been learned is that there are different triggers for DPD, and a primary one is marijuana. Another one is salvia, which has grown in popularity in recent years, and the ecstasy, which is also very popular beginning in the 80s. Well, what's happened is because DPD can be triggered in certain individuals by these drugs, causing the physiological changes that throw you into DPD, there's been a lot more, several websites devoted to it. There's been two research clinics. I personally wrote with Daphne Simeon, the researcher at Mount Sinai, the first book on the topic back in 2006, which was called Feeling Unreal, and that was the first work ever done on depersonalization disorder. Now I've done Stranger to Myself, which injects my own personal story as well as some of the more recent research and some of the treatments that are being used today to help people cope with it.
Now, you also brought up a topic because I honestly was thinking a lot of what, when I first started reading your book, a lot of what you're describing, many people have described when they've had out-of-body experiences. They have this disassociation, they're separate, but it is not an out-of-body. You go into this with such clarity, and you say definitely it's not a psychotic condition.
Right.
Explain why it is not a psychotic condition.
Well, a psychosis involves delusion and delusional behavior. You may feel as if you're a robot when you have depersonalization, but intellectually you know that you're not a robot. You may be going through the motions like a robot, but you know that you're not. That's the difference between psychosis. Now, on the other hand, depersonalization has been called the opposite of insanity because, if anything, you're acutely aware of your own existence and the nature of life to such a degree that you see life or you view life almost in a spiritual way that is somewhat deviant from the norm, the way normal people function day to day, that it's kind of an extreme sanity that most people are not really willing to cope with. There are a lot of links between the depersonalization experience and different aspects of spirituality, particularly Buddhism. The elimination of the self as such is one of the first steps towards spiritual enlightenment cross-culturally. And what depersonalization does is on an involuntary basis, it's kind of the elimination of the self and the ego without asking for it. So what many people try to achieve through many years of meditation, in essence, depersonalized people are thrown into unwillingly, and it becomes a very difficult thing to deal with.
You bring out the fact also that there are many veterans that suffer from this, and that some of them have described it as if it's a void, which fits with what you just talked about, a black emptiness, they describe it as, and they have no feeling when they're there. They just feel totally disassociated, using that word. It's a fascinating phenomena, and it has actually been a part of the human experience for as far back as you could research. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. What has changed it today, there are different ways of looking at depersonalization, and certainly it can be looked at as a disorder. And in the book, I tried to approach it from every possible angle, every possible interpretation. Certainly, it can be looked at psychologically, biologically, philosophically, and spiritually. And I try to go into each of these topics as to how it may be viewed. But for the person experiencing it and not knowing what it is, it can be a truly terrifying experience. And the primary feeling is one that you're going insane or you've lost your mind, and it goes through cycles which can include emotional numbing, which involves thinking without feeling, which is what you describe when and sometimes with PTSD, people have post-traumatic stress. This can be a problem for them. The emotional numbing, the lack of feeling, the lack of empathy towards other people or situations, really robs you of your humanity, because if anything makes us human, it's our emotions and our ability to empathize. And if that's gone, it's just a bunch of words floating through your head without any emotional context. So that can be extremely difficult to live with.
Your personal experience was very interesting to me because you were a young person, you were in college, and you discuss how you took, hashish?
Yeah. So it was, I smoked marijuana just a couple of times, just like everybody did. And then I smoked some little bit of hash in a bowl, and it resulted in a very acute panic attack, which was then followed by, which is quite common. There's a strong link between panic attacks and depersonalization, and it's thought that depersonalization over the long run is a reaction to an acute panic attack or a series of panic attacks. And it's kind of the mind's way of coping with that sense of panic. And what has been learned, and so that was my experience, and I went through every conceivable symptom, which I describe in the book, that one could have during the depersonalization as it runs its course. And those can be variable. There are different feelings or different symptoms that you may experience at different times. But the overall consistent feeling is one of strangeness, of being somewhat lost, and detachment from your normal sense of self.
And you ended up at a particular point when it was happening to you, you thought you might have damaged your brain. That was something that immediately went through, oh, my goodness, what have I done? I've damaged my brain.
Exactly.
However, you got to a point where you were so disassociated that you were ready to commit suicide, but you called a suicide hotline. And a man that answered the phone said that THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, I may not be pronouncing it exactly correct, might have been in what you had smoked in the hash. And his, as you say it in your book, the barriers, the walls of reason and sanity I had erected were broken through, making you feel vulnerable and fearful. And he said that chemical could do that.
Well, let me clarify. THC, or tetrahydrocannabinol, is the active ingredient in pot or hash. In other words, it is, that is what makes you stoned. So what happens is, in certain individuals, there seems to be a layer or a threshold that, once it's reached, will throw them into either an acute panic attack or depersonalization. So this is why many people do smoke pot or they smoke hash with immunity for many years. They don't have this particular vulnerability. But there is a certain percentage of the population who do have it, and these people can be thrown into depersonalization because of the trigger of things like marijuana or salvia, as I said, or sometimes LSD or ecstasy. And so what it is these drugs are acting as a trigger for the condition that may not have ever surfaced in the person's life had they not done that drug. However, it might have surfaced through other things like ongoing lower-level stresses or different other triggers that I described. So it's not a condition that is brought about exclusively by drugs, nor exclusively by stress or heredity. It's something that different people can come to at different times for different reasons. But there does seem to be a biologic vulnerability, whether a person knows it or not.
Now, you talk in your book about some of the research that you did. You've done this extensively. Obviously, this has been a very significant reality of your own life experience, and your purpose by writing the book and by having your website is reaching out to people, knowing that they have some options to work with. And in your research, you bring up different people. One of them was Emil Kratelin, and he was from Europe. He was the father of psychobiology, and he thought that all mental illness was based in internal biochemistry, and each illness could be defined, isolated, and tracked along a predictable course based on observations of the same illness in other patients. Is this still accepted by people in the mental illness? Because I personally believe that so much chemistry is involved in this, that if we could figure out how to balance the chemistry, we could reverse a lot of these things that afflict people.
Well, I believe that chemistry, biochemistry, and what we are or what we believe we are one and the same. If you alter the chemistry, you will alter the person. There's really no getting around that, and I think most psychiatrists today do take a biological perspective. In other words, if you're troubled by DPD or anything else, today, the first line of defense is usually to treat it with some kind of psychopharmaceutical rather than propose long-term psychotherapy or psychoanalysis. The therapies very often do help, particularly there are different therapies that help with depersonalization. But I think most modern thinkers in terms of any of these mental illnesses will look at the biological angles and in fact, that the very term chemical imbalance in the brain has become very popular for anybody mm-hmm. who has any kind of a quirk or any kind of a mental problem. And certainly, there is a lot that my belief certainly is that is the root of the problem. Whatever the initial source might have been, if it arrives at a point where there is something going wrong with the chemistry, it needs to be treated, and very often can be. So that's kind of a modern way of thinking about it, which is certainly more, I think, more enlightened than than some of the early theorizing was done in the late 19th century and so on, even though the man you quoted, I think, was in the late 1800s.
I find it intriguing how these little bits of light of knowledge from different individuals are recorded, and it takes so long for certain things to evolve because of technologies. And I think that's one of the blessings of our environment at this time, where we are coming to understand we can make evaluations about chemistry. We're in a huge learning curve relative to this. Now, you have a number of very interesting stories about people that you've had the opportunity to interact with, and one of them was Alan, and I think it's very compatible with what you have just explained. And Adam was a successful person in the corporate world, and he said he had a pretty well-balanced life, but he ended up having an experience not unlike your own, where he smoked some hash, and he knew that he had damaged his brain by doing that. But he makes a statement that, again, dovetails with what you've discussed. He said, with all the episodes that he went through, he felt that there was something already built in his genetic makeup, and he finally has accepted the fact that depression, acute anxiety, two sides of the same coin, may have erupted in him anyway. I find that most interesting for an individual to come to that kind of summation.
Well, two things about that. First of all, very often people will ask me, people who have had the same experience, who have smoked marijuana or something, only once or only twice, and
it
triggers DPD. And he said, and they'll say, "Oh, my friend smokes it every day. How come this didn't happen to him?" Well, because you had this genetic marker there. You had this difference in your brain chemistry and your makeup that caused it to come out, and the drug simply acted as the trigger. So what that means, there may have been other triggers, or there may through life be other triggers. And with depersonalization, typically the triggers are not as severe as they are with other dissociative disorders, what they used to call multiple personality disorder, or now that's DID, dissociative identity disorder, or dissociative fugues, or any of these other heavy-duty dissociative disorders. Usually the triggers with depersonalization seem to be relatively minor. It might be ongoing verbal abuse. It might be different stressful situations in childhood that eventually culminate in depersonalization, or it may just be some kind of sensitivity to life and to the world around you that makes you more vulnerable. But there is a vulnerability in certain people. We don't know exactly how many. I would estimate it's probably a relatively low, maybe 10-20% of the population has this vulnerability. Just like people have a vulnerability towards diabetes or towards getting cancer or anything else, it's just something that's in there, inbuilt. But what I have tried to bring out with all this writing and work and research is simply that if people are aware of it, they may be more aware of the triggers and of the vulnerability. So it's basically trying to spread the word that this is a very real condition, and add it to the lexicon of all the other mental disorders we do know about and that are highly publicized. And little by little, that's being accomplished.
You have a story in here about a man. You have both stories by men and women, but Charles, who is close to 70, he lives in England, and he shared his story with you, which was quite involved, about the depersonalization. His life was a life of, to me, horror. When I read it, I thought, my goodness, I wonder how this man can even stay sane because of what he went through. And he just suffered just terribly. And now he has gotten a little bit of help, but he said he felt alone and panicked and a prisoner inside of his own head. And here he is now, close to 70, finally recognizing that he can have some, whatever you want to call normal, in his life, a normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
But he shared his story. And I thought each of these stories that you bring out in your book about people, they could be anyone. I mean, this is really quite an important area. Now, you have this website. You've reached out to so many people through the years. What is your desire with this website? What do you want to accomplish? And your book has so many significant points of information and statement in it that I think it makes for a very, very important educational read, but it's very insightful about an aspect of the human mind.
Well, thank you. I want to just correct you on the website now. It started out as depersonalization.com, but now it's depersonalization.info, I-N-F-O. And so that's where people can go. And the main goal of the website through all these years is just to very briefly explain what the condition is. And I've received, you know, hundreds of emails just saying, thank you so much. And, you know, you've described exactly what I've been feeling for 10 years or 15 years, and nobody, I never knew it had a name. And this is very gratifying because I know how I felt when it took me 11 years to find a name for this condition. I was very fortunate to meet a very astute psychiatrist who was very, very familiar with it and give it a name and tell me about many, many other people who had had exactly the same thing with the same symptoms. And this is what people find on the website is a venue of communication and information, and it will refer them to other websites, too. There are many out there now. Some are kind of self-help groups that may or may not work, and others go into different degrees of the information that's available today. But the main goal of it has always been to get the word out and try to get this as more of a household word so that 10 years from now, hopefully everybody in the country will know the term depersonalization, and just as they do bipolar disorder and depression and everything else that's there.
Mm-hmm. And I think your statement in your book, people are not very accepting of mentally disturbed individuals, and one does everything in one's power to convince whomever one encounters, oneself, that one is not one of them.
Right.
And I think that there are so many points of information and recommendations, research papers that you have included in your book, and I think that this can be extremely helpful to individuals that maybe someone listening today is having an awareness of disassociation, and they go, what do I do? I just don't understand it. I feel very strange. And you go into the body, mind, emotion. You cover so many things in your book, and we just were out of time. We wouldn't be able to cover it. But people can go to your website, depersonalization.info, and I think it's important for us to educate ourselves. I think it's important for us to be aware that there are so many variables in life, and we need to understand why certain things happen, why certain things evolve. And I think that that's what Jeffrey Abigail is trying to do with his book, Stranger to Myself, Inside Depersonalization, the Hidden Epidemic. Jeffrey, I want to thank you very much for being with me today. Your website, again, is depersonalization.info. You can go there and just keep it handy. You never know when you might be able to reach out to someone and help them. But more than anything else, educating yourself about how important it is for you to take care of yourself, number one, but to be aware of things that can happen because of any number of experience, whether it's drugs or dramatic trauma, doesn't make any difference. Jeffrey, I think your book is very insightful, very informative, and I want to thank you for being with me today.
Well, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. So glad you were able to join me today. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Hey, phone lines are open. You can give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. Delighted you could join us. And by giving readings on the air, again, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. It's very simple. I want to share something with you that I learned many, many years ago. And it was something about the physiology of the female anatomy. And that is, whenever women take in any kind of medicines, any kind of whatever, no matter what you take in, some of the things, especially if they are toxic, the body will store. And I remember reading about a woman, and she wasn't the only one that this had happened to, that she had taken LSD, and there were others that had taken various narcotics. And they just did it for not very long, maybe just one time, and they started having effects a few years later. And it's quite a fascinating thing. I know I've got a caller. I'll get right to you, caller, so bear with me. There is something about the female anatomy where the fatty tissues of the body will actually hold substances and then release them at a later date. It's an amazing thing, and they had known about this years and years ago. And why it's not used is part of an understanding to be very leery of whatever you take, because it's just that uniqueness. Men don't seem to have quite that same effect, but women do. So it's something that we need to be aware of. Let's take our first caller today, and I want to welcome you to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, this is Lisa, and I'm calling from California.
Lisa, where are you in California?
San Diego.
In San Diego. Hope the sun is shining there. It's pouring here. We swear that the rain god decided to get even with the snow god.
Sorry.
it's just pouring here. Oh, you're in the Pacific Northwest. Oh, well, that's what keeps us green. Okay, Lisa, let's get down to business. First thing that I am looking at is the big word of organization. Now, what's evolving here is that you need to step back. You need to be able to take a deep breath, not do anything for a little bit of time, and really look at what you've got in front of you for objective for this year. Let me give you a simplistic example. Let's say you wanted to clear clutter in your home, and I would just say, get out a piece of paper and go to each room in your home and draw out, oh, this is what I need to do to declutter this. And then just take maybe 20 minutes and work on one room until that room is done, and then take 20 minutes a day or whatever it takes to work on another room. And eventually, you'll get to your objective. But if you tried to do everything at once, or if you didn't really look at what was needing to be done and set your priorities, you'd be scattered in too many different directions. And that's a silly example, I know, to use, but that's what I'm getting at. I really think you need to have a broad view of what you want to see accomplished in 2012. And that is allowing yourself to really step back. If you wanted to focus on your health, all right, what is the big objective? Is it maybe getting more sleep? Is it what is it you want to do for yourself? And I don't care if it's business, whatever. Step back, have a quiet time, give yourself maybe a week to work it through, be very disciplined about really looking at the big picture, and then work from maybe that 180-degree spectrum and start coming in incrementally to where you are and say, this is where I'll begin, and this is what I'm going to do. Organization is the key, and you have so many distractions that people are going to bring into your environment. So one of the things that you may need to do is have a friend, or if you have someone that can work with you as an assistant, say, I want you to keep me on track. This is the objective for this week. We're going to stay on track with this. I'm not taking on any other projects, and I want you to help me stay focused. So if you can work with someone that can keep you online like that, you are going to accomplish things this year that you've been wanting to do for the past 3 years. It's going to be marvelous. This is your breakthrough year, 2012, so go for it. Do you have a question for me?
Well, that's interesting that you're saying that because I'm out of work. I'm currently looking for work, but I'm extremely organized. I'm like probably borderline anal retentive. And since I don't really have much to do, my house is in order, my business is somewhat in order, and my health I'm working on. But I'll just continue to be more organized because I'm very, very organized.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there'll be more stuff coming in.
Mm-hmm. I do think that you're going to be employed this year. You're going to be employed. I'm getting the number 6, so I don't know if it's in 6 weeks or 6 months. But I want you to be aware of the fact that there is this distraction factor that's going to be coming in this year. So you just need to understand, you need to give yourself the time to really look, again, at that big picture. And I know that you have this capability, because that was just the big word, organization. So maybe it's looking at it from a different perspective, and that's why you need to step back and step down, just to say, okay, how else can I do certain things? What kind of work are you looking for?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. I'm actually in theater. I act and I write, and I'm actually pursuing a new agent at present. I guess my best question would be, do you see me landing a new agent soon or perhaps landing some work soon?
Well, you're going to be able to get some work, but I don't know that it's going to be in San Diego. I think it's going to be more in the Los Angeles area. I think there is going to be an opportunity for work. But I'm also looking at something else besides acting itself. I think you're always going to be involved in acting. When you're 550, you're going to be involved in acting. But there is something else that I'm seeing you getting into that's going to be suggested to you, and you're going to be picked. You're just going to say, okay, I'll take it just for the heck of it. And you're going to find you have a knack because of your capacity for detail of being able to do an evaluation process in some aspect of the theater environment. And I'm not sure exactly what the positioning would be called, but I would say step up. Don't be afraid to step out into something that is going to be associated with theater that will allow you to integrate in a way that you had never anticipated.
Got
you. So keep your eyes and ears open.
Okay. Will do.
Keep your eyes and ears open because there's something of technology, too, that you're going to be working with. It's quite interesting. But I do see something coming out, but the number 6 is associated with it.
Maybe June. Okay.
All right, my dear.
We'll Well, thank you for your help.
Oh, you're very welcome. And by the way, I'm going to be at the Los Angeles Expo next month.
Oh, good to know. So when I drive up there, maybe I'll come by.
Well, and I'm going to be in booth number 704, and I'm speaking on Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do you know the dates?
Yes. The dates are the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th of February.
Got it.
Yep, so I'm going to be there, and you can Google the Conscious Life Expo, and you'll find all kinds of information there.
Great. Thank you. I'm writing this down.
Wonderful. Hey. Well, tell your friends. Maybe a bunch of you could carpool up.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful event.
Yeah.
So hope
well,
to see
I'll
you there.
Check it out online and read more on
okay.
it.
Okay. Wonderful, Lisa. You have a great day, and thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks. You too.
This is Donna Sebo, and again, I just mentioned to her the Conscious Life Expo. I will be there the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, check it out. You can check out the information on my website, and if you want to, you can give me a call because I will also be available for private appointments. But during the event itself, I'll be doing many consultations in booth number 704, so do stop by and say hello. I'll also be checking, reviewing materials from various authors to see if they would like to be on the show. So it's going to be quite an action-packed weekend. Okay, now tomorrow we're going to be talking with Gary Nassif. We're also going to be playing some of his music. Gary's story is an interesting one. He came from quite a unique background, and he ended up being a person that performed in Las Vegas. And big film stars like Esther Williams and some others were good friends of his. So we're going to listen to his story and find out about how he ended up coming out of a very negative level of life into being very good to himself and taking charge of who he was. And then we're going to be talking about innovation for the 21st century. Michael Carrier is going to be my guest. He is a professor of law, and we're going to be talking about patents, trademarks, and other things, and how important it is for us to be aware that innovation is the key to the 21st century and the success for everyone in the United States, building jobs, offering opportunities for new careers, all of this. So that's going to be coming up. And then we have Charles Green on Friday. We're going to be talking about financing. How can you get financing? Well, we're going to be discussing how that's going to happen, and also we'll be talking on Friday with Cliff Fazzolari. We're going to have a few minutes with Cliff. He's got an award-winning book that people have really enjoyed. It's all about his love and life of his brother, Jeffrey Fazzolari. Jeffrey died, and there were some very special happenings that went on with this. Life is interesting. So we have some great guests this week, and I hope you'll tell your friends and join us for some fascinating information that I think adds to our storehouse of energy. When we come back, I'm going to be more with the Chinese horoscope. Yes. And did you know that the Chinese celebration goes on for 15 days? That's right. They have 15 days of partying and welcoming in the new year. So we're going to be talking about the sign of the pig, the sign of the rat, and maybe we'll even get the ox in. So I will give you that when we come back from break. And what I also wanted to mention to those of you that are listening, if you're in Western Washington, our class Quantum Mind 2 is coming up this Saturday. It's being held in University Place at Bridgeport Place facility. And all of the information's on my website. We have 6 openings that are available. We have 2 that tentatively are taken, so that leaves 4. And if you want to come, please call my office so I can reserve it for you. It's $59.95. It's going to start at 10 in the morning. This is interactive. We're going to have Robert Newman with Feng Shui. He's going to be talking about all kinds of things, about how you can bring prosperity into your life, how you can empower your career venues. All of this and more he's going to be talking about I'm going to be doing the second part of the training, and this is in about developing your own intuition. We're going to be working with a blindfold. You're going to find that your own intuitive resources are already there. It is opening up and becoming receptive to them. So we've got a dynamic day. Give me a call if you would like to be a part of this interactive, wonderful class. The energy in it is just phenomenal. And the number to call is 253-582-5604. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi there, this is Donna. Well, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Okay, the Happy Chinese New Year. Well, let's see what we've got. In this year of the dragon, what is yours? Now, we have talked about dragons, snakes, horse, sheep, monkey, roosters, and dogs. So now we're going to, well, if you were born in the year 1923, 35, 47, 59, 71, 83, 95, or 2007, you were born under the sign of the pig in Chinese astrology. Now, you have a love of food, and you probably would be an absolutely wonderful cook. They'd call you a foodie. Mm-hmm. Now, you are a person that likes elegance. You like to be very discerning in what you choose to have in your life, whether it's people, items, food, it doesn't make any difference. And you love to learn. You absolutely love to learn. So what's in store for you, you confident soul, you? Well, what you need to do is take care of yourself physically. You really need to find out what works for you, and that is going to enable you to present yourself in the best way you possibly can. And you want to realize that you may be very self-critical, but realize that you have to set standards for other people to come up to also. So be a little kinder to yourself. And as I said, you are quite discerning about who you want to keep company with. And you don't want less than what you feel you deserve. And one of the people that was born under the sign of the pig is Marie Osmond. There's Simon Cowell. There's Glenn Close. There's just a lot of, lots of good people born under that sign. Now, what if you were born in 1924, 36, 48, 60, 72, 84, 96, or 2008? You were born under the sign of the rat. Now, you are a problem solver. You're a person that can look at situations and come in with different paradigms of solutions, not something a lot of people can do. You're very generous. You have a wonderful open attitude about life. You believe in having things fair. And you don't hesitate to speak your mind. Now, what's in store for you this year? Well, focus on what means the most to you. Have you a dream, something you'd want to accomplish? You want to learn a language? What is it that you really, really want? And I'm not saying this from the position of trying to get materialistic. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what really is something that whenever you think about it, you just feel good. Well, you need to realize that this is a year where you have to start putting out the energy for that. Just thinking about it isn't going to make a difference. You have to look at the actions that are going to enable your thoughts, your desires, to come into fruition. And you know what? You are a friendly person. You really interact well with other people. And you need to be in environments where you have that social circle that is expanding, where you're always going to have interesting people around you. Now, some famous people that were born under the sign of the rat: Cameron Diaz, Ben Affleck, Antonio Banderas, Julianne Moore, and there's so many more. Well, I think I've got time here for those of you under the sign of the ox. The sign of the ox is the year 1925, 37, 49, 61, 73, 85, 97, or 2009. Now, the ox, you have a knack at being able to spot trends. You do not like being told what to do. You are exceedingly stubborn, but you have the capacity to see patternings of change, and you want to be on the cutting edge at all of the time. You really, this year, can move forward whatever your career environment aspiration might be. You can really move forward. Have that. You just have that knack. You really do. So you need to be your own supporter. You need to be your own best friend, because you've got some good things coming to you this year. And those of you under the sign of the ox, you're going to find that anyone that's in association with you, because of your support, they're going to benefit as well. George Clooney was born under the sign of the ox, and Heidi Klum, Mario Lopez, and others. I think it's always so much fun to share this stuff. And the last two that we have is the tiger and the rabbit. You know what I think? Yeah, we talked about the monkey. So those are the two I've got left, the tiger and the rabbit. So I'll be finishing those up for you tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I know how the time flies. This hour goes by like the wind. I wanted to share a quote with you by Paula Best. She said, "Begin now. We have only this moment, sparkling like a star in our hand and melting like a snowflake." Aren't her words just magical? Sparkling like a star in our hand and melting like a snowflake. This is the moment that you're living. This is where you are right now. Count your blessings. Be aware that you are a gift in this universe to yourself and to everything that's around you. So you want to make sure that you sparkle. And you want to use the moment of now. So wherever you go, spread your light, spread your good, because other people really need to see it. You're also the master of your own fate, the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. We're going to have a great time. You have a fabulous day and evening wherever you might be in this wonderful world that we live in. This is Donna. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.